This message was presented at the GYC 2015 conference called Chosen Faithful in Louisville, Kentucky. For other resources like this, visit us online at www.gycweb.org.
Let me just say this, folks. Having information, all of the correct information, does you no good. If you're just coming here to get some information, you can come out with all that and think, I got it because I knew this. You're going to have to know Jesus. If you don't know that, all that information, you'll see, will do you no good. Here, let's keep on. Come on. Now, here it is. And at midnight, when it's the darkest upon the earth, gross darkness, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness of people, there was a cry made, you know the midnight cry. I love singing that song. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Then it's going to come with power just before he comes, with great power. And there's a reason it's going to come. Then all, not just the wise, the foolish did too. Those virgins arose and did what? Trim their lamps. Now, trimming their lamps, if you've ever seen and had lamps, and I've had some oil lamps, when you trim it, what you do is you cut off all the dross. And when you cut off the dross, then the light burns brightly. But in order to cut off the dross spiritually, you have to have some power. That means you were doing some wise stuff. During the slumbering period, you weren't idle. You were doing what you were supposed to do in that period. And that was getting some oil in your vessel. We're living on borrowed time. And this time is to be used not being busy trying to convict people of their sins, but cooperating with God and agreeing with him. Those of you who have been through this, you know what it means to agree with him. Agreeing with him while he convicts you of your sin. And then when the cry comes, he cometh, we'll have the power. That's when the sealing comes. And we won't be moved anymore. Then we'll go out with power. That slumbering will be over. Because we will have done the work that God expects his church to do, that he's waiting for. We talked about in the beginning. Then the gospel will go through all the world. So quickly it will blow our minds and we won't have to spend millions of dollars for 3 or 4 baptisms. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. It means they were going out. Meaning, even though you know the truth, when this time comes, it doesn't matter. The power won't be there to keep living the truth. All that information, you can quote it like the Pharisees did. They could quote it so good that they knew where the commas and the tittles and the dots and all that were. But they killed Jesus. Now it says, now here is the message that Jesus told the story for, and it's for us right here in this room. He told the story for us because here's the message to the wise. Those who are wise during this time. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Now here it is. But read that with me. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now who sells? They're not talking about going to the local grocery store. You have to go to the heavenly merchants to buy this oil. And the message to Laodicea tells us who to buy it from. Y'all, you getting it now? Buy from. Now, I didn't have time. Y'all know should know the Laodicean message. If not, look it up in Revelation 2. I just hit it says, first he says, I know that y'all say that you rich increase with goods and have need of nothing. And because of that, you think you have it. He said, but I tell you that really you messed up. You don't know, but here's it. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, because I know the truth. I keep the Sabbath. I got all of that. I'm not there like them first day folk. I need, matter of fact, I know all this. I need to straighten out them. But you and I need to be dealing with our own person. And guess what? That don't mean you, that doesn't mean. See, the more lights you set, because while you're doing this, buying oil, the more you get that oil in you, the more the light in you shines, and you can't hide the light. If the light's in you, it shines. You can't, even when you try to cover it up, like Jeremiah said, I'm just going to stop talking because every time it just gets me in more trouble. Then he said, it's like fire in my bones. I can't help it. I have to say it. Because if you ask me a question, that's why I tell people, I say, now, if you ask me the question, be prepared for the answer. Because you don't want to hear it, but, you know, if you don't hear it. But if it's in you, if Jesus is that good to you, you can't help but talk about it. You can't help it. You have to tell somebody. When you know a good sale is going on, you tell her, girl, did you hear about that sale that's going on down there? What you say? Because thou sayest, and knowest not. See, we don't even know it. It takes the Spirit of God to reveal it. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, because we're still operating on number 6. The power of the flesh instead of the power of God. Because we're not doing the one thing that brings the power. Anyway, so now here's the counsel, because we haven't been doing it. I counsel thee to buy of me all of this gold, faith, and love. Oh, you know, I love everybody. Stop lying. You don't. Because we don't. Oh, and we say we must love, and that's true. But you cannot love. This flesh is self-centered. It doesn't love selflessly. I love you because you're connected to me or you treat me good. It's about me. And if you don't treat me good and you're not connected to me, I don't like you. And I don't love you either. It's natural. Don't feel bad, because all of us are like that. Only Jesus. God is love. And if you don't know God, you don't know love. I hear people say, well, I know some non-Christians that love better than Christians. You're talking about fleshly, selfish love. But in order to be selfless, true love, only God can give it to you. It doesn't come in this package. We were made in His image originally, but when we stopped, oh, I don't have time. But got 5 minutes on this session. Oh, less. Lord, help me. Okay. We're going to have to move for real. Because we got, let's see, go, buy me, go and be rich. That's the faith and love. White raiment, that's our righteousness. Not by law, by surrender. That thou mayest be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with thyself that thou mayest see. That's judgment. Oh, I wish I had time to deal with that. Keep going, Gregory. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And that's the message to us. We say, repent of what? I need to get those birthday folk to repent because I'm keeping the Sabbath. No, repent of self-righteousness. Because we've been taught to be that way. And it is an accurate, because God tried to get us out of that in 1888. We rejected it. And even when we come back, I hear people saying righteousness by faith. And it's another form of righteousness by works. If your faith is strong enough, you'll keep the commandments holy. You will keep them. I got to say it. Folk, Jesus gives us grace because He knows that this thing takes time. In Him, there is no condemnation, but you will be falling short. But it doesn't count against you. You know why? Because if you do your part, which is surrender your will to God, and if you haven't been coming, I can't really, but surrender your will, we're going to get into how to do it. If you're surrendering your will to God, it's guaranteed that you will be made righteous like him. Over time. And during the time, you are without sin. You have the righteousness of God. By the deeds of the law, no flesh is saved. No flesh is even justified. But God has come up with another way that outside of the law, that is the law agrees with, because it gives you the righteousness of God by faith. Because the law requires not your and my puny righteousness. It requires the righteousness of God immediately, right now. Amen. And only God can do that and make us just and be just while he does it. Because in him, it is guaranteed you cannot get away from it. If you stay in Jesus, you will be made righteous. Amen. Over a process of time. Because here's where the devil gets us. I am as sincere as I know how to be, but I still fall short of his glory right now. Now, let me just say this before I might not have my head tied. I believe that when he comes, I won't be falling anymore. I believe I will stand because he will have sealed me, and he'll seal me because I've agreed with him. I've been saying yes to him. Holiness is agreement with God because of judgment. And he's going to show me everything. That's why I say judgment is good news, because God's going to show me every secret sin. I mean, he's been doing some healing with me, because I was struggling with some stuff and as I talk with God in the morning, because I have the best psychiatrist in the world. His name is Jesus. He comes to me anytime I call him. I don't have to go to him, and I don't have to pay him a dime. It's free. And not only that, he can show me exactly what's wrong with me. And then after he shows it to me, he will fix me, because I can't do anything about it anyway after he shows it. He cleans me up. And he does it like a tender shepherd. He said, Greg, I know you can't deal with all this right now, but I'm going to guide you in all truth. Right now, just be patient, because if I made you as holy as you think you want to be in tomorrow, you'd cry out. You couldn't take it. But just let me be God. And surrender. This is the gospel. Jesus saves. And we tell what he is doing, present truth. What he is doing in glory now to save us. What's that? Judgment? That's good news. Not the way we've been thinking it, because when he comes to your name, you better be doing right. See, that's self-righteousness. And you don't know when he's going to come to your name. No, if you walk with him, he is light, and in him is no darkness. We've covered this. And with him, he'll shed that light on you. You see it, then you say agree. Because if you say you have no sin, you're a lie. But if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Forgive, and that's the process of judgment. He said, take this gospel. Huh? Okay, 45 minutes left. Well, we're going to have to go over a little bit, because this is important. Some of y'all haven't heard it. Because you see, the devil's been whipping us too badly. Let me take. Trust me, I'm serious. See, in the message this morning, that's true. But you have to realize you don't commit to doing the right thing. You commit to be surrendered to the right one. Because you will find that even if you committed to doing the right thing or the right one, you will still fall. And then the devil will jump on you and say, see, you're no good. And either you'll get discouraged, or you become a Pharisee and say, oh, I'm not bad. That's not wrong. You're a lie. It is wrong. It is wrong. But as long as you're committed to God, even when I falter, I know, and when I go back, and every morning, because sometimes when I wake and I feel like I'm dirt, because I see me better than I've ever seen me before. And that stuff I thought was righteousness, he shows how it is utter flesh and foolishness. And then I just feel, and then he says, Greg, I didn't tell you that to beat you up. I told you that for you to give it to me so I can cleanse you. Get your eyes on me, boy. Get it all for yourself. And keep them stayed on me, and let me lead you all the way. I got this. I have you. And as long as you hold my hand and don't fight me, I'll lead you all the way. And I walk in no condemnation, no condemnation. I feel dirt, yes, because the devil will jump on even the Lord's work and say, when the Lord convicts you of sin, he'll jump right in there. Because he's up there. He can feel, see, he sees spiritual forces. You don't. He sees the angels gathering around you and he gets scared. He said, oh, and he knows if he didn't. He said, let me get on up here and get busy because I see what's going on and I got to stop, especially if he's had us. He said, oh, I got to keep my soldiers. I got to try to bring them back. I go, whatever. So he's going to come there and say, see, you're no good. You can't. I mean, what do you call yourself a Christian and look at what you're doing. You're not supposed to be watching that. See, folk, when you come to the Lord, this is not the Wizard of Oz. You're not going to click your heels and be holy. You're not. But we teach it like that. Now, we'll give you a break when you first come to the Lord, but say, okay, now that you righteousness by faith, said if you believe hard enough, then you're going to keep the commandments. You'll keep it by the grace of God. And while he's working with you, he'll get you to the place where that last generation will be so he will have judged them and shown them all of the stuff. And because you've agreed with him at all, and just because you agree with him, he said, okay, I got it. But you won't always, you'll see progress. Yes, you'll grow. Yes. But you won't see total victory. And even after he seals you, you still won't feel like you have total victory because you still see how what you really are, even though you're not falling to it. So you never get the big head while you walk with the Lord, because the closer you walk with God, the more sinful you see yourself to be. That's a direct quote. And the Bible will tell you that, too. You can't walk in the light and say you have no sin, because if you do, you'll lie. Okay. Huh, I got to roll. Huh. I got to roll. Man, this is... Okay, I got to read this. When the third angel's message is preached, as it should be, power attends its proclamation. It hasn't happened yet. We're still slumbering. Preaching, and we think, well, once we preached it and we told them, we got the gospel into all. No, you haven't. You just told them some words and they're not impressed. It's slumber evangelism, because we don't admit that we are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. Because when you admit that, then you only do one thing. You go and you buy from the Lord and we keep on repenting because you know you messed up. But we say it like this. We have to straighten the world out because we have it and they don't. And therefore, we beat folk over the head that have no power and make you feel guilty and say, you got to get out there and do it. If you have it, you won't have to be prodded like some goats. You will get out there and go on your own, because just like when the Pentecost fell, they said, you shut up or else we will kill you if you mention that name. They said, do what you have to do, but we're going to say this name and we're going to preach it. And they had power. See, if you have to motivate people to go out, and I'm not beating people up for that, because they haven't been taught how to get the power. Even when you're going sleeping. And you're talking it, but you ain't walking. Not everybody not like that, but the majority of the church is. Because you do not see the works of the Spirit. Just be honest. When you look at the church, do you see the work of the Spirit working, or the works of the flesh? What do you see more? And the longer we're here, we're getting worse. Correct, or am I the only one that? Why is that? We're hearing preaching. We sit up under preachers so much it's a crying shame. Where is the power? And it's not because you're not sincere. It's because you don't have the knowledge that you're supposed to have of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We say, well, that means good things. No. That's the rich young ruler for those over the first seminar. What good thing must I do? Looking for another good thing. Looking for another good thing. He says, there's only one good, and it's not you. Stop looking for the good thing, because you can't do it anyway. Look to the one who is good. Now, if you want to be perfect, Get rid of all that stuff that makes you feel that you can do, all that money that gives you power, that thinks you, makes you think you can live independent of me. Get rid of that. Come to the point where you are wholly helpless. Then come and follow me. When the rich young ruler heard that and said, you mean to tell me I can't do anything? You're going to take whatever little power I think I have and make me totally dependent on you? I don't think so. And the Sabbath tests us every day when you hear it the right way. Because it says, you can't do your work anytime. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. How do you keep it holy? You don't do your work. But here, now labor. What labor? The labor of God. Take no thought what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Take no thought even how many souls you're going to be able to say you won at the end of the day. Just do what I told you to do. And if nobody takes a stand, it's successful. A lot of us as evangelists wouldn't even go to a county if we thought we wouldn't get a soul. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm trying to get us to see clearly where we are so we will get desperate for the God that will give us the power to go home. I'm ready to go home, folk. I'm tired of wandering around here calling. We building castles of sand, talking about we're doing a great work. It is nothing compared to the mighty Himalayas that God's power will take us to. Kick that mess out the way and plead to God for that power. Huh? I'm losing stuff. What's happening here? I don't have time to stop. Oh, here it is. Okay. I don't have you, but see, I don't have you, but this little short time. Okay, now, let me, come on, here. Oh, it must be attended with divine power, or it will accomplish what? And that's what we're doing. Okay. I am often referred to the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise and 5 foolish. The parable has been and will be fulfilled to the very letter, for it has a special application to this time. And like the third angel's message has been fulfilled in the past and will continue to be present truth till the close of time. We got it. And we, in a parable, the 10 virgins had lamps, but only 5 of them had the saving oil, which will keep their lamps burning. This represents the condition of the church. The wise and the foolish have their Bibles and are provided with all the means of grace. But many do not appreciate the fact that they must have the heavenly unction. Here it is, folks. They do not heed the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not hard. It's easy with Jesus. Matter of fact, it's impossible to shut your mouth off and not live it and tell it if God's in there. Reviewing how the righteousness of Christ, that was way back in 08, 19, August 19, 1890. God was trying to speak to us then, but we were so stuck on, let me read this. But I must tell you that the church in her present state is represented by the 10 virgins, 5 of whom were wise, and 5 are foolish. The foolish had lamps, but had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Those represented by the class, this class, will die greater sinners than they were before they professed to believe the truth. Because when they knew God, they worshiped him not as God. That didn't mean, they didn't say didn't worship. They didn't worship him as God. They worshiped him, they were God, because they were responsible to do it. Self, in all its perverted attributes, hardened the heart, and close the door against Jesus Christ, that he should not enter and abide with them. Manuscript release, volume 21, chapter 1504. Now I'm going to read this one real quick. Some, this is a heavy stuff, listen to it. Some who come to God by repentance and confession and even believe that their sins are forgiven, still fail of claiming as they should the promises of God. Listen to this. They do not see that Jesus is an ever-present Savior, and they are not ready to commit the keeping of their souls to him. Too busy working it out themselves, obeying and keeping the commandments. Relying upon him to perfect the work of grace begun in their hearts. Now, am I saying going out here and no, I'm saying we don't get righteousness by keeping the commandments. We get righteousness by surrendering all every day to Jesus, and he works in us more and more that we begin to walk like him and act, and as we walk like him, we will keep it. And this last generation is going to do it perfectly without falling, act just before it comes when he seals us, because we have cooperated with the one thing that we're supposed to be doing not right now, buying from him the oil necessary for him to do it. Buying means you give yourself. Does it cost a penny? Not one. Does it cost? What does it cost? Everything. Everything. Your dreams, your goals, all that stuff that you have planned. In 5 years, I'm going to be here. In 10 years, that's how the world tells you to think. I got to read. It's going to come to that. If I can read. While, but listen to this. Get this. While they think they are committing themselves to God, there's a great deal of what? There are conscious souls. I wanted to make sure. Conscious means people that are very careful to make sure they do everything the right way. They're conscious, sincere. I've been there, done it. I know what it means because I was one. Couldn't beat me at it, like Paul said. But the Lord had to break me down. And I understand the psyche very well because I've been there, done that. And still wasn't making it. But anyway, there are conscious souls that partly part to God and partly to themselves. They do not look to God to be kept by his power only, but depend upon watchfulness against temptation, watchfulness against temptation, and the performance of certain duties for acceptance with God. This is the inspired commentary, by the way. There are how many victories? In this kind of faith, such persons toil to no purpose. Their souls are in continual bondage. If you're sincere, if you're serious with yourself. Now, if you're hypocritical, you think you're all that, like the Pharisees. But if you're sincere, and you let God show you, you'll see that what you call righteousness is nothing near what God is like. In this kind of faith, such persons toil to no purpose. Their souls are in continual bondage, and they find no rest. That's Sabbath, y'all. Until their burdens are laid at the feet of Jesus. By the way, it says, those that serve the beast have no rest, day nor night. There is a need. Listen to this. There is a need of constant watchfulness and of, I love the balance, and of earnest loving. There is a need for it, but guess how it comes? But these will come how? Oh, my goodness. When the soul is kept by the power of God through faith. Folks, when we get this thing, we'll be the most Jesus-focused people in the world. Your mind will be on 24-7 because you need him 24-7. You need him to, but when you think I'm doing pretty good, you walk and you think you're doing it and you're not. And that's why we get heavy even in the world, because we think I'm working this job. I know how to make money. No, you don't. Not the kind that's going to keep you. Just like we do that, we come to the Lord to say, 13 minutes left. 30. All right. I'm glad. He's doing the right thing, man. He's doing the right thing. I'm glad he's doing it. Okay, folks. I'm going to just read this. Then we're going to go into question and answer. But I'm going to give you during that time, I'm going to give you the formula that will guarantee that everything will work out. Because it's a formula that's going to make you surrender. So, I want you to read this. We can, what? Come back here. Yeah. Look, we can do how much, sir? Wait a minute, just in case you didn't understand, let me read the rest of it. She wants to make it clear. Do you know what that means? Do you know what absolutely nothing means? Folk, when people say, you know, we have to, my ear says, beep, because I'm listening now. If anything other than we have to, if you say anything other than surrender your will to God, now you're in the works. Here's an example. Folk, we have to study every day. If you're in Jesus, you will study every day and you'll study the right amount, however it is. God will work with you and he'll convict you and he'll pull you there because he will work in you both to will and to do. And the reason why he can do it, because you gave him permission. You gave him your control center. He said, now I'm going to work that thing. As long as you give me permission, I'll do it. And you will pray when I tell you to pray. You will study when I tell you to study. You will stop this when I tell you to stop. You will do this. Don't worry about it. I have you. And therefore, there is no condemnation, because as long as you give me permission, you will be where I want you to be when I want you to be there. And that's holy. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Ah, it's so much good stuff. I mean, I can't do it. Here's it. Huh? Oh, the quote. Oh, yeah, where it is. Selected messages. I'm glad. Keep doing that, please. Selected messages, book one. The subject presented in 1883. Page 353 and 354. See, the Lord was trying to bring this thing to us. That's why they sent Ellen White to Australia. You sound like a joke, but that's why they sent her to Australia. I said, man, we got to get this woman out of here. Send her out there to Australia. And all that happened is she built up the work out there. You know, you can't shut the word of God up, but it kept the church here a little longer. But this message is going to get through, folks. And the folk that grab hold of it, I said it like that, they're going to go through with it. And I pray that as many as possible, that's why I've left the pastoral ministry. I'll get into that later, if I have time. Seriously. I'll tell you one reason, so I could be available to do this full time. Because there are too many other things that I feel is wasting my time that I have to do. So this is it. God has given it to me, and I'm dedicated to taking it as far and as wide as he opens the door for me to do it. Now, I'm not going to go into this right away. I want to open it up for question and answer, and then I'm going to apply this as I answer it. Okay, I see here and here and here and here. Let's go here first. I'm going to have to repeat the question, but go ahead. What must we do to love our enemies? If you don't love them, the problem is who? We like to say, they're the problem. That's why I can't love them. Well, Jesus didn't say you have to love people that make you feel good. You know what he said? Love your enemies. Just start with that. I know we're going to get, but love your enemies. Now, the problem is I don't have that kind of love in me. The problem is not what they're doing. The problem is what's in me. I can't love you like that. Okay, now, when I admit that, and yet I'm supposed to do that, now if I say, well, I love them, I just don't like to be around them too much. See, you're lying to yourself. Just tell the truth. I don't like them and I don't love them. It doesn't make you any worse than anybody else, because everybody that walks in this flesh feels the same way. You just better off because you're honest. The rest of them are fooling themselves. You don't love this flesh. And the Bible says it. If you don't know God, you don't know love. Flesh cannot love. Now, Paul and God's disciples didn't believe that at first. When the Lord said, you're going to deny me. This is Paul, Peter felt, he hurt, his feelings hurt. Peter said, Lord, you just don't know me. You don't understand. I know No, he don't want to tell me. Help me. Anyway, you don't understand. And he said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'll die for you. I'll die in glory, fleshly, pride. But the way you're going, Lord, oh, I can't. That's too humble. I mean, we're supposed to have pride. God hates pride. Stop using that word. We say, you're supposed to be proud. No, you're not. No, you're not. The Bible makes it clear. It's the source of all sin. Because it's self-exaltation, even above God. Say, if you're going to walk with me, you got to walk lowly and humbly. And he takes, flesh is proud. That's why they say you got proud flesh. It's, you know, I'm talking about flesh that don't want to be healed. That's proud flesh. That's a good accurate call for it, too. Proud flesh. Can't heal it. You got to cut it away. My problem is always, my solution is always Jesus, because I can't stop feeling the way I feel. So I'm not going to beat myself up. I don't love him, Lord. I'm going to be honest about that. That makes me what you call me, a sinner. And that makes me somebody you died for. Thank you. He said, I can't save righteous folk. Didn't he say it? They don't need a doctor. I don't need a doctor. You're not sick. I came to save sinners. I'm one. Save me. And then I'll tell everybody why you're doing it. I can't hold it. I'm too good. Woo, do you know what's... Woo, you got to get some of this, baby. Come on, get some. Just like we're talking about them good sales. Well, anyway, my solution is always Jesus. I said always. Well, Lord, if you just give me a job. I know that's the natural. The flesh said, well, I can't pay the bills. Give me a job. I said, well, I may not give you a job right now. Now, he gives you, he does that. He'll do it 1,000 ways. He doesn't just do it one way. 1,000. I have to be submissive to that. And he has, I've asked for stuff. He didn't give me the actual money that I prayed. I said, Lord, if I do this, after a while, I want to have this money. He didn't get, but you know what he did? After that, he gave me the substance of the thing. He gave me the thing. I mean, I don't have time to tell them stories. But my problem is always self. My solution is always Jesus. My part is always surrender. When you take you to Jesus, whatever your problem is, and just be honest and say, Lord, I don't feel that way. You claim a scripture. I can give you a scripture. He says, in me, you're complete. No weapon, your joy will be full. All of that. I will keep in perfect peace. All of those things. I just get real. I say, Lord, your word says that. I don't feel that. I'm the problem. If you make, I'm going to get you, my brother. If you make the problem the person, now you have no control over solving it. Because you can't control what they do. You give them the key to your happiness. But if I put it where it belongs, right here, me, now I can control that because I can take me to Jesus. And I can fall prostrate for him and wrestle with God and say, I ain't going to let you go until you bless me. And the reason why I have to wrestle, because my flesh wants it my way. And I'm going to wrestle with God and I'm not going to let him go because sometimes I can't even pray right. But now I can because I've been doing this long enough. I'm so convinced. I've seen him do so much with so little. I've seen him do when I said, I don't want it fixed. I want it gone. And then he does his thing and fixes it. And I said, Lord, I wouldn't have it any other kind of way. My man back there, real quick. Come on. Talk up. Talk up. Talk with your preacher voice. Yes. Well.
My concern is that people now realize that, oh, I'm sinning because I'm trying to do good.
Yes. It's sin. The Lord's going to say, many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, didn't I do many wonderful works? He said, here's the question, I'm glad you asked that. He said, earlier I said, anything you do in your flesh is sin. That's true. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And then we see our sins as a result of being convicted of sin. Because I realize I did that in my flesh, and he shows it to me. But until he convicts me of sin, I can't even see my sins. I call it righteousness. Oh, that wasn't nothing wrong with that. I told you about, I'm surprised when he gave that example. He said, she looked in the Bible, she saw it all marked up. I told you my example. I said, I shared my Bible because I had my Bible all marked up. I wanted the person to see how marked up it was. But when I shared it, you couldn't have told me I did it for that reason. But because I'm walking with the light, 20, good. Because I'm walking with the Lord shed that light on me and said, Greg, no, you didn't. Part of it was true. Yes, partly you did do it. But a great deal of that was your pride. You want to show him how much you study. Yes, he sees the motive. And every motive of the flesh is self-glory. Self-glory. And God will show that to you. Here his question was, yeah, I got to finish this question because it's going to help a lot of us. Huh? The law of sin is this, that when I would do good, evil is present with me because sin is in my flesh. That's in Romans 7. That's the law of sin. That says when I try to keep the law of God in my flesh, there's another law that brings even that good into evil. Even when I try to do good, evil is present with me because of my flesh. In my flesh dwells a law that guarantees that I can never be righteous. No matter what I do, if I can, I don't need Jesus. If there's any one thing I can do, I don't need Jesus. Yes. Right here. Yes. Good question. Good question. See, I like this kind of stuff. I wish we had all day to do it. The question is, what do I do when I'm living with a quarrelsome person and they like to argue all the time, and even when I'm quiet, I'm mad? Woo! Yes, sir. What they're doing is, let me tell you this before I say it. Here's what I tell the devil, and I'm going to tell you why. When I'm going through stuff like that, I say, devil, you're going to keep messing around and save me because all you're doing is the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, what I mean by that is, every time I get that way and I see it, I run to Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, now, what happens is this. When I run to Jesus, he forgives me. I'm still mad. But goodness is not in what you do. Goodness is in a person. And if you agree with that person and surrender to that person, he says, now my righteousness covers you, even though you're not actually feeling and acting in your spirit that way. But just stay there. And I'll hold you through this mess. I won't let you go too far. And then you keep on walking with me. And you're going to see you have. After a while, you're going to see, I've grown now. That doesn't bother me. You can come with something else that bothers me. But that one, I got the victory over. Amen. But in the meantime, there is no condemnation. Because the Lord says, don't worry about how soon you get it. Just as long as you don't fight me. Guaranteed you will get it. Be patient. Stop looking at yourself. Keep your eyes on me. And you'll be there. So when I do that, I falter and fail. You better believe I get angry. I get angry with my wife. Here's, I'm going to give you an example. You know, and I love this woman. She's a good woman, but I'm stupid sometimes. You know? And so is she. Anyway. Yeah. Equal. Sin is an equal opportunity. You better believe it. Yeah. But anyway. See, I mean, I get mad. And I'm going to tell you, I just gave this example before. I told you somebody a little earlier. See, my flesh is so stupid. I don't beat up a woman physically, but I sure know how to hold a grudge. I know how to fight emotionally, and I know how to say things that will cut your soul. You wish I hit you. Please hit me, please. Woo, because that stuff I can't recover from. But especially as you start growing the Lord. So you should, my wife, do something. It doesn't even have to be wrong, just something I don't like. I'm going to tell you, you think, marriage is so to teach us to stop being so selfish. You think, oh, I don't have time. So let me stay on tack. I'll get mad and I'll blow it. Say stuff I ain't got no business. And you know what? There are times when I'm in the midst of it. Now I'm growing, I have to give you two. Now I've grown where I don't do some of the things I used to do. But still the devil, you know, and the Lord allowed the temptation to come to help you grow, because you can test me in another way that I haven't really got the victory over. And so, you know, I'm testing that way. So is she, especially when you're married. And that's why God says it's good, you know, because, or even if you're not married, because if you're not alone, another human being going to test your soul. Yes, it will. Anyway, so what happens is I get mad and I blow it. See, I'm talking about the times I blow it, because there are times I get victory, but we always get victory stories. We know about victory. I'm going to talk about failure. So I don't do it. I walk away. The Holy Spirit started convicting me. Greg, now I'm telling you something. I could be right in principle. Did you hear what I said? Right in principle. But I acted like the devil. I mean, I may not even, but my spirit. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, and I can even say it holy. You know, so on, so on, so, but I'm cutting up. Beating upside the head with the law. Got that two-edged sword just cutting. The Holy Spirit will walk with me and say, Greg, you're wrong. And you need to go back and say you're sorry. Oh, yeah, you're wrong. And you need to go back and tell her that you're sorry. I said, Lord, I was right. He said, you had the correct words, but you had the wrong spirit. And the spirit says more than the words. Your responsibility was to show her Christ. You showed her Greg, and you need to apologize for that. Now, I'm going to tell you how stupid my flesh was in the beginning. I wouldn't go to him right away because I said, Lord, I ain't going to pray about it right now because I know you're going to make me go and say I'm sorry, and I don't want to. You can't get in Jesus, especially as he convicted you. You can't surrender to him and not say you're sorry. You can't. And have peace. You won't have no peace if you don't. He'll keep troubling you and troubling you till you just can't. And when I go and say I'm sorry, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. And so I've learned. I see a hand here. Wait a minute. I saw another hand first. Did I see another hand first? I think right here. Because I want to try to get as many as I can. How much am I doing in time? 12 minutes. Man, go ahead. Come on. It never stops. It never. See, let me tell you, I'm glad we're asking these questions. I wish we had more time. It never stops. Even in glory, you have to stay surrendered. We're going to be growing in glory. Now, we won't have his flesh, but we're going to grow in perfection. God is holy. You're perfect, but you ain't like God. And you'll be growing more and more like God throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. You're going to be growing in heaven. That's right. No, guess what? Where sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound. Even in let me tell you this too. Nobody is going to be lost because of you. Because if they could be lost because of you, then you were their savior. Think about it. Think about it. The blood of Jesus is not powerful enough to overcome you. And your symphony, your sin is more powerful than God's grace. Uh-uh. No. Yes, you can hurt somebody, but somebody has hurt you. And there's always been somebody. And guess what? If they go to Jesus and repent, God forgives them. And the same person that hurt you, the spirit that touched them will touch you. And if your heart isn't hard, he will forgive you too. But if you harden your heart against God, you won't be lost because of what they did. You'll be lost because of your decision. When I realized this thing, I was a parent, and I had to wait because I've been told that you're responsible to save your children. Biggest lie I ever told. You're responsible to surrender to God so you can cooperate with his plan to save your children. He's saving your children. And when you realize that, your responsibility is to go to him every day and say, Lord, give me the wisdom and the strength. Surrender. So he can work in you to work his plan to save your children, to save his children. You didn't die on the cross for them. He did. And his blood is shed for them. And nobody and nothing can stop them from being saved but themselves. And that's why when we stand before God, everybody's going to say, just and true are all your ways, even though you have loved ones that are being lost. You're going to say, I know it. And I told you about the story of my child. I believe he's going to be saved. I never finished it, and the Lord showed me this. Here's where I am. If I'm wrong, and he did harden his heart, his heart was that hard, I'm going to agree with God. I'm going to agree with God and say, Lord, he's not worthy to be here because sin will arise a second time, and I don't want to have it no more. He's made his choice. He's got his mind made up. You've done everything you can. Right here. I see a hand. Where's a hand? What's a hand? Right here, then right here. Come on. How many, where are we in time? Go ahead. Notice you said Pharisees. Yeah, I said, okay, I'm going to come back on that. Me to repentance. Now. Yes. Yes. Okay, okay. And it has to be, I really don't want to just throw, because we have a tendency to go, I want to put, you're right, to a certain degree. Now, I want to give you an example. Guess who he was talking to when he said that? People who profess to be doing all the right stuff. Well, wait, I want you to get the point. People that profess, he wasn't talking to blatant sinners. He drank and ate with them. And the folk that were holy said, how are you hanging with them sinners? If you knew what they were like, you wouldn't even touch them. But see, he's talking about repentance of your self-righteousness, your lack of need for God. There are people that I know that's brother right. I know 10 examples that I have baptized, and God covers it. Because I do tell them. I do tell them. Because I say, now look, my brother. You are coming into a church where people are. You and God have a relationship, and you know that, but they can't see that. Now, I did this balance. I said, now, you may be still struggling with this. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. Make that a private struggle between you and God. Because I'm telling you, if I feel that, if you're praying, see, it's hard for us to come to these kind of things because we don't trust a relationship with the Lord. What I'm simply saying is, it's as simple as it boils down to this. We have to stop leaning on the letter and rules and learn how to trust the Spirit. Go ahead. Yes. No. Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. His. Okay. Listen. Yes. I'm glad you said that. Okay. I agree. Then that I'm with you on that. Here's what I'm saying, and I'm glad you're doing this because it's bringing that balance. So this is a good thing that he's doing. Here's where I am. If you're drinking, and I tell you, show you where drinking is wrong, God hates it, and you say to me, Pastor, I believe that. And by the grace of God, I don't want to do it anymore. You may have took the drink today right in my presence at that point. But if you say that, I say, brother, you're going to trust me? Yes. I'm going to baptize you. I don't care what you did last week. Now, if you're playing, it's going to show through. But if you tell me, well, yeah, but right now I ain't going to do that. I mean, I got to wait for that. Then I'm going to say, well, I'm going to wait for your baptism. Yeah. But so I'm glad. Thank you, because we needed that balance. And that's why I do this. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you. Okay, right here. Because we're walking in our flesh. Because we have not heard and been presented the surrender message as the all in all. Let me just say this before I begin to end, because I'm running over time. I'm tell you what, if y'all want to talk, we have time. I'm going to say, let me tell you this. And I know some people are having a problem with what I'm saying because it's new. And that's why I'm glad my brother, had the courage to, because that balance, and so you make it more clear. Because if that balance is, if you tell me that, then you profess the truth. You profess. Now, if you fault and fall God, if you're sincere, God has a way of dealing with that. Anyway, he said, why don't people love more? I said it's in the flesh. Let me just tell you. And I had this thought I was going to come with. But if it's not meant, we won't come back. If it's so, it will come back. But why we don't love each other is because we are walking in the power of our flesh. And we're trying to love each other in the power of our flesh. And flesh cannot love right. And that's why the sign, it didn't say the sign that you are my disciple is that you keep the Sabbath holy and God well, it is the Sabbath. You can do that and look pretty good. But one thing you cannot do, you cannot love like God loves in your flesh. And the only way you can get to that is you start surrendering, and God will help you in that growth, and you won't be condemned while you're growing, and you'll show signs because, the Lord will convict you, and you'll start going back to that person, and you won't go back to win your argument, and you won't go back, so they'll say that they're sorry to you. Your whole purpose will be, I want to tell you I was wrong in the way I acted. The way you acted is on you. If you don't feel that you acted wrong, that's between you and God. But I have to confess my sin. I messed up. And I have to tell you that. And I don't want it. And they come, well, so-and-so. That's all right. Because, I'm not going to get an argument over it. Because my whole goal is not to convict you where you wrong. My whole goal is not to show that I'm right. My whole goal is to heal the wound that I created. And when we start, and only Jesus can get us there. Because the flesh does not want to humble itself, especially when you feel you're right. And then if you do, and we do that too, and we go to the person and say, I'm sorry, and then the person will get mad at us and bless us out again, and then we right back into the argument. But if you go with the Lord, it won't happen. Got to cut it. I wish I could say we could do this a long time. And I got stuff that I really didn't get to, but I have to trust that God knows the rest of it. You have the handouts. Basically, if you follow this formula, it's going to make you surrender. You are always, my problem, I didn't say the problem of sin, you can't settle. But my problem is always me. My solution is always Jesus, because I can't change me. And the only way I'm going to get to the change is I got to surrender my will to God. And it will keep us going. So like my sister was saying, you got to keep on going to Jesus. And guess what? You don't get tired of going to Jesus, but you do get tired of trying to do it yourself. So whenever I don't feel the peace and the rest of God, I know that I'm doing the wrong work. Because the work of righteousness, Isaiah 32:7, I end with this. 17, the work of righteousness is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forevermore. Because righteousness is a man called Jesus. And when you go to him, he will give you peace and he will give you assurance that you're going to be okay. Let's pray. Man, it's so much. I'm going to end in prayer. I'm going to leave this other information up on the screen here. And for those that want to see it as you walk out. Huh? Okay. We're going to pray. And I'll have to move it to that. If you want that information of how to get in touch with me and what make available, you can stay for that. If not, keep going. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
This message was recorded at the GYC 2015 conference called Chosen Faithful in Louisville, Kentucky. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to inspire young people to be Bible-based, Christ-centered, and soul-winning Christians. To download or purchase other resources like this, visit us online at www.gycweb.org.